In the year 2009, we've all been familiarized with the phrase, the Chumrah of the Week Club. It seems like every time we turn around, there's something else that we can't do. And the more stringencies that we place upon ourselves, the better. The more observant we are, the greater individual spiritually we are. The reality is that the Torah tells us what we're supposed to do. But the whole idea of a chumrah is nothing new. Doing and going above and beyond that which is required is something that we find already in the Torah, thousands and thousands of years ago. In this week's Parsha and Parshas Naso, we find such an individual, a person that does not just adhere to the Taryag Mitzvos, but wishes to go above and beyond, Lifnim Meshuras Adin, to accept Chumra upon Chumra. And this individual is the Nazir. The Nazir, in which has three basic laws. An individual who refrains from consuming, from drinking wine, does not have his hair cut, as well as not becoming tame, ritually impure, by coming in contact with the dead. Those are the three basic laws of the Nazir. Certainly, these laws come straight from the Torah. But one certainly could also ask, what does one have to do with the other? They seem to be such unrelated topics, to the point that our Parsha tries to draw a conclusion or connection through the Smichas HaParshios, the connection, the juxtaposition of the law of the Sota, the wayward wife, who locks herself up with another man and secludes herself and is brought to the Kohen and is found guilty, and which Rashi tells us perhaps it was because she drank wine and that is how she ended up doing what she did. And therefore, when you see this, you should separate yourself from wine. So that's the connection between the Nazir and the Sota. Okay, but what does that have to do with your hair? Letting your hair grow? Not coming in contact with a mace? With the dead? They seemingly have nothing to do with one another. Why is allowing your hair to grow, why is that a chumrah? We look around, and the more yeshivish haircut is short. Jokingly, those people who are familiar with the Torah, who reminisce of the 60s with a ponytail, jokingly say that they're following the laws of the Nazir. But why is that a chumrah? Why is that something in which is a stringency? What do these three things have to do with one another? The reality is that this may not even be a chumrah at all. Believe it or not, what this individual is doing perhaps is a sin. The Torah tells us, V'asa ha-kohen echad l'chatos echad l'ola, that the Kohen will take two offerings, one as a chatos, a sin offering, and an elevation offering which is completely consumed on the Mizbeach and the altar. The Chippur Allah Masher Chata Al HaNefesh. And you know what? This will be a kapara, this will be an atonement for the sin that this person did. So what sin was done? So Rashi provides two interpretations. Perhaps it means Shonizhar Metumas Hames. It means that he broke the laws of being a Nazir. He became impure by touching a mace, by touching the dead. That makes sense. But listen to the second interpretation also found in the Gemara Nazir in Yud Tes Amud Aleph. Rabbi Elazar Kafar Omer, Shetzir Atzma Min Yayin, because he separated himself from wine. Why is that a sin? Do I need to drink? What does that mean that this person has to bring a chatas, a sin offering, because he became a nazir, which is a chumrah, which is going above and beyond the laws of the Torah? What exactly is a nazir? Just to make matters all the more challenging, the Gemara Nedarim tells us that not only is this person not necessarily doing the right thing, but the Gemara Nedarim on Chaf Beis Amud Aleph tells us that any person who accepts upon themselves the laws of being a nazir is ke'ilu baneh bameh. It's as though you have built and brought a sacrifice on your own altar. Obviously referring to a time in which you're not allowed to build a bama, an altar. You're doing something wrong. But what does that have to do? The fact that I allow my hair to grow, and for me not to drink wine, or to become tamei, why is that like I'm bringing a sacrifice on a bum? What exactly is going on? What is a nazir? On this, Rabbi Josh Blass explains the following novel concept. He says that it's possible that this person who is a nazir is not just separating himself from earthly pleasures. Perhaps he's looking to separate himself from the community at large. He's being poirish min hatzibur, removing himself from normal community functions in order to find his own way, his own derech, his own separate path, which is against the ways of the community. You see, if we look at it in that light, perhaps we can understand these three concepts, these three laws, which is a nazir. A nazir is not allowed to drink wine. We know when a person drinks, we don't drink alone. We drink in a way to celebrate a simcha. We raise our glass and we say l'chaim, we make a toast. It's a way to connect community together, family and friends. And he says, I do not want to be part of that. I do not want to be part of your simcha. I don't want to celebrate in your joy. I want to be punished at Sibor and do things my own way. We know when it comes to a person allowing their hair to grow, which is considered to be an antisocial behavior, I want to stand out. I'm not interested in conformity. I'm not interested in looking like everyone else. I am my own person. And I will look different and act different and behave abnormally and maybe make you feel uncomfortable and let you know that this is who I am, because I don't want to be part of what you're part of. And certainly, on the opposite side of a simcha is a velus, tragedy and mourning, and how important it is to be able to be there and to give comfort in words of nechama, of consolant to these people that are struggling and challenged through this very, very difficult time in their lives, a loss of a beloved relative. And for you to say, I'm a nazir, is to say, I am not coming to your funeral. I'm not going to take part of this hesped, and I'm not going to be able to, on any level, give you words of nechama. because I'm separating myself from the simchas of this community. I'm not going to be there for the good times, and I'm not going to be there for the challenge and difficult times. I won't be there either. The Nazir is a person who is Pirish Min HaTzibur, a person who does the mitzvos, but he wishes to do the avoda in his own way. The definition of avoda zara literally means an avoda service which is zara, which is estranged from that which we are supposed to do. And perhaps this is the reason, as Rabbi Josh Blass explains, why this individual who accepts upon themselves the laws of being a Nazir is like a Bama is built. Is because a Bama is your own personal sacrifice, your own personal altar. You say, I do not want to take part in the community functions. I don't want to go to this shul. I would rather daven by myself. I'd rather not take part of any learning, any shiurim, any programs, any davening. I'll do it myself. I'll serve God in my own terms, the way I feel comfortable in serving Him. Says the Gemara, that's building a bama. One needs to attach themselves to the shul. One needs to attach themselves to their community. Now this does not mean, any stretch of the imagination, that we're all robots, that we all have to be the same. It's true that the mitzvos are all the same. You and I both shake a lulav and esrog. But I have very different emotions and experiences that I bring to the table. And my kavanah will be so much different than yours. Which no coincidence is the reason why at the end of our parsha, Parshas Naso, which discusses the offerings that are brought by all the tribal leaders. Why is our parsha so long? The longest parsha of 176 psukim is because the repetition of each tribe again and again. Why did they bring the exact same sacrifice? But more importantly, why did these individuals who had the choice bring the same sacrifice? And why does the Torah need to write it over and over again? The Torah, which we're educated to believe, does not have an extra letter. Why all these seemingly extra sentences? The answer is that if you look in the interpretation over there by Rashi, it's brought down only Yom Sheni. Now, if they're all the same, why is Rashi only interpreting it by the second day? So Sfarim explain, is because the kavana of the first person on the first day is very different than the kavana of that person on day number 2. And so Rashi's explanation is on day number 2. I don't know the pshat of day number 1. I don't know that person's kavanas, but it certainly was different than the second person's, and the third, and so on and so forth. We stand, we daven the Shemoneh Esrei. Every word is exactly the same. But are we the same? There certainly is an idea of conformity. But we also are independent in that our mitzvos are very unique. Hashem doesn't want only my tefillin. Hashem wants you to put on tefillin. And based on what happened to you yesterday, perhaps you losing a job, or getting into a car accident, Rahman al-Atslan, or hearing good news, that mitzvah is a completely different mitzvah than mine. And therefore, we must remember that the Nazir brings the Chatas. The Nazir is making a huge mistake, because when it comes to fulfilling mitzvahs, you could have your own individuality attached to that mitzvah. But you do not need to go against and away from the Torah itself to find that independence. It's here It's in the Torah. It's in the midst of performance if you can only see it and bring it out. How important it is to internalize this message. To internalize the message of thinking not just for ourselves, but thinking for our community, thinking for our synagogue, and thinking about our brethren in Eretz Yisrael. To realize that we are all connected, we're all together. To never be in punishment at Sibor. To grow and to be able to do the mitzvos, even if you're not part of the chumrah of the week club. Good Shabbos.